一辈子都不行的。Treat it as. Evil and violence are the only two measures that hold any power. Look at the world. Chaos.
Okay, B-Sal here, the Vault of Horror, and welcome to the Vault cast. And I'm here tonight with some very special guests. I have with me the members of Calabrese, the most excellent... Am I pronouncing it right, by the way, Calabrese, or is it Calabrese?
No, that's right. Yeah, Calabrese.
Calabrese. Okay, see, it pays to be half Sicilian sometimes. But I'm with the members of Calabrese, the most excellent horror punk band. Jimmy, Davey, and Bobby are all here with me on speakerphone. So welcome to the vault, guys.
Thank you. Buongiorno. Wait, that's not Italian.
That's great. But yeah, so you guys have a new album out, obviously, coming out March 20th, right?
That's correct.
And it's Calabrese 3, They Call Us Death. So just want to talk a little bit, before we get into the new album, which, by the way, is terrific. I got an advanced copy, and I really love it, and I recommend it to my listeners. It's really, really great stuff, especially if you're into the whole horror rock thing. I mean, it's for me, and I'm not just saying this, I mean, this is really what it's all about. This is stuff that you don't really hear too much anymore. That's what I really like about it.
Thank you. That's exactly what we were going for.
Well, no, it is. It's a real throwback. I mean, this wasn't what I was going to ask right off the bat, but I mean, I really like the throwback style of it. It's almost, you know, I guess it is what you're going for, but it's really that, you know, late 70s, early mid 80s kind of, you know, let's put it this way. A lot of your songs sound like they could have been a deleted cut from the soundtrack to Return of the Living Dead, basically.
That's exactly what we're going for.
Okay.
Actually, yeah, they are actually all rejects from that movie, so you're right. And The Lost Boys, and yeah, Fright Night, what are the odds? Twilight.
Oh, no. No, see,
not
really Twilight. Yeah, so anyway, let's go back to the beginning, though. Obviously, you guys are all brothers, so we don't need to ask the usual question, how did you get together? But, I mean, how did the band itself take shape from the three brothers, you know? I mean, were you like this as kids? Did you play together as kids?
Yeah, this is Jimmy. I think before we played music, our biggest group activity was video games. Especially, we bonded over Resident Evil. That was the video game that we really bonded over. And of course, me being the oldest brother, I introduced them to horror movies and all the other stuff they shouldn't have been looking at and listening to at an early age. So I demented their psyche, so they followed me to the ends of the earth, and we jumped off together into hell and created this and other fine CDs.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit, because you mentioned, you know, the influence of horror movies, obviously a big influence, just, you know, just listening to the music. Anybody can tell that you're fans. What's the attraction for you guys to horror movies in general?
The colors. The colors.
The red color, is that it?
So I think it's just, I don't know, it seems to really, if you start watching that kind of crazy shit when you're young, it really kind of affects you and, like, sucks you in and
it's almost like it's like the next step closest to porn. Like your parents, you do not watch these horrifying movies. And once you do, it's in your brain forever. And from there on out, you just kind of get sucked into it. Just a thrill.
Yeah, as you know, Brian, once it's like you're either into it or you're not. And if you're into it, you go all the way and you can't stop. I mean, even you have to check out even all the crappy movies just to see. Just maybe it might be good, but never is. But you still have to check it out.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, and like you said, you know, funny, like talking about the porn thing, part of it is, you know, it's something that you're not supposed to be watching. So when you're a kid, you know, that's like candy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but so what were some of the favorites in terms of movies? Like what stuff really, you mentioned Resident Evil as far as, you know, gaming, but like what movies really, really grabbed you? And what would you say the movies that really are the most influence on the music that you make?
Interesting. Well, number one, definitely not influenced by the Resident Evil movie. That was pretty craptastic.
Phew. Okay, good.
No, I think, I can probably speak for the other guys. I'd say the splatter horror kind of comedy stuff, like Dead Alive and Evil Dead, Andrea Campbell, Bruce Campbell, The Fright Nights, just everything that was horror related, but had that little spark of comedy in it that really made it kind of fun. And
definitely. And you also use, and this is kind of something that you guys have always done, but you use actual quotes from movies on your albums. How do you, where did the idea come from to do that, and how do you pick which ones to use?
Oh, you're talking about the samples?
Yeah.
Well, that's just hours of just watching public domain movies and just trying to figure out what we could legally lift and stick into songs. And just throughout the year, just as we watch movies, just write down cool sentences and whatnot, come from movies, and just when the time comes to record, we just go through all that and see what will fit into which song and what can be taken, interpreted different ways and all that. I think that started from, well, definitely from White Zombie. I just remember, like, hearing that, and it was like the next progression from The Misfits. It was like, oh, they're actually putting in some horror movie samples in there. And
I know on the new album, the first one, it opens up with a great clip. I wish I could say I know where it's from, because I would sound so cool if I did.
It's my voice. I'm just gonna open it up.
It sounds like Freddie Jones. He was an English actor that did a lot of Hammer movies. I mean, I wish I knew what it was from. Obviously, somebody's gonna know. But
yeah, who is that? I forget. It's for sake of we. As far as we know, everything we found are public domain. So
don't say the word hammer or.
Yeah. Well, I meant the tool.
Definitely not Universal or anything to do with Disney.
we had to cut the Mickey Mouse sample out of there.
Oh, that's too bad. Yeah, that's. It was.
Chewbacca yelling.
Just wanted to use Chewbacca.
Yeah, I don't think Star Wars is public domain, though. That might be a problem.
We didn't hear from you, so.
Yeah, okay.
We didn't hear. Good thing this is not recorded.
Yeah, I know. If we were recording this, that could be a problem. That's true.
Oh, man. It's like a direct line to Universal.
I'm sorry. All right, the music, though, to get to the music itself, and you guys mentioned The Misfits and White Zombie. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about some of those influences in terms of bands that came before you.
Yeah, for me, like Jim mentioned, you got a song into this crazy world of punk rock and death rock and all this weird stuff, but yeah, he showed me all this old cassettes with Subhumans, Dead Kennedys, get exploited, and all that kind of stuff. That really is what it kind of started for me. But then, except for White Zombie, and I got into kind of a surf kick for a while, so I don't think you can tell, a little bit influenced by some surf.
Oh, no, I love surf rock, and I definitely caught a lot of that in there, you know, especially in the guitar. It definitely shows. But
yeah, it's my total answer to never learning how to do solos, wild solos. So I
that is the cure, isn't it? Just go the surf route.
Yeah, and I think the influence on like all the darker music and all that. I went to how many years of parochial Catholic grade school, so it's, you know, listening to Danzig and like Slayer and all that stuff. It's just like, okay, yeah, you have. I mean, you're just attracted to it once, you know, once you're like forced to go to Catholic school. So.
Oh, I got you totally. I went to Catholic school too. See, so now I understand. See, you were those guys. You were the kids in Catholic school, listening to all the metal that would piss off all like the nuns and the brothers and stuff. I got it totally.
Yeah, whatever.
but yeah. Also, in terms of influence, I gotta say, and I've seen it mentioned and stuff too. But on the vocal end of things, I definitely hear a lot of Glenn Danzig influence in there too. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, we're related to him, so you know. No, I remember, and that's not like really something we try to do. I remember, for me, when I was singing in another band, like back in high school, and someone's like, "Hey, you sound like Glenn Danzig." Who are you talking about? I never realized that Misfits and Danzig are the same thing back then. And then, so they're like, "Yeah, check it out." So then, like, you know, of course, fell in love with that, and you know, he's got that Jim Morrison style that I guess that we, I don't know, maybe if it's your.
Yes, definitely. It's the whole, yeah, like you said too, Jim Morrison. I mean, I'm sorry, what?
Oh, no, I got text.
Oh, nice. Okay, well, you know, don't let me, interrupt you. That's okay, go right ahead.
I'm just texting while I'm doing
it. So now, I could pick it up a little while you answer your text. I could, like, pontificate a little bit about, like, rock vocalizing and stuff. But no, the Jim Morrison thing too. It's true for me listening to it because, you know, not to sound like a grumpy old man or anything, but I mean the thing that I like about guys like, you know, Jim Morrison or Glenn Danzig and that is that, you know, they really have chops. You know what I mean? They can sing, and not just sing in the context of metal. Like they could really actually sing, and that's what I hear too with you guys. You know?
Yeah. No. I mean. It seems like when I first started, I had no idea how to sing. You know, I was like, oh, yeah, listen to my favorite stuff, and that's what I'll do. So I started popping Danzig too, and like, yeah, kill the wolf, woo! And then, you know, I started trying to sing like it, and I quickly realized I could not ever sound like Danzig, so I just kind of learned my own way of singing. And obviously, you know, the influence is in there, because you know, you listen to it. Your idols to gain inspiration. So,
oh, definitely, yeah.
I was listening to a lot of Cher. So,
are you going to try the auto tuning like she does with her songs?
Wait, what?
Seems to be the big deal right now. Is everybody's you know doing that auto tune thing? No.
Yeah.
Please don't do that. Yeah, don't start singing like T-Pain or something. That'll be no good.
Did you hear that We Are the World? They had. Got it. Singing like that in it.
Don't even get me started on that. I thought it was almost like watching that was almost like watching. I thought it was almost like a Saturday Night Live spoof of We Are the World. I mean, when they broke out the auto tune in the middle, like, can't you just this one time actually sing? Just this one time for charity, can you sing? Apparently not.
No. They can't.
No, they can't.
Nobody knows how to sing. It's just talking. That's all.
But so the sound now, you were saying before, you know, when I was talking about how, you know, what I think it reminds some people of, it sounds like that's really what you were going for intentionally. How did you develop that? Is that, and how intentional was it to have that kind of a throwback style?
I wish we were that good that we. Yeah, it was all intentional. It was just kind of we just play what we have. Whatever comes to us. That's what we're doing.
Spiritual, dude.
Yeah, I wish we had more of a technique that we know. Because once it's gone, it's gone. So.
Yeah, I would totally chalk it up to pure luck. Or
hey, you know what? How did the Rolling Stones sound like the Rolling Stones? How did Beatles sound like the Beatles?
So
no, it is. I'm saying that we did our own thing, and I guess maybe you know it was all luck and pure randomness because I don't know.
Yeah, it's got to be all the influences just coming through.
I guess it's, you know, it's the finished product that matters the most, you know, and obviously it shows in the finished product. However you get there, as long as you get there. But you heard it here first. Now Calabrese comparing themselves to the Rolling Stones and the Beatles. I didn't say that. They did.
But I'm just saying, you know.
I understand. Now, your CDs are all self-released, right? Okay. Now, so you've actually turned down offers in the past. Is that correct, too?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, why would you do that? Obviously, you know, just to – I mean, I understand why, but why, I'm not saying it like, why did you guys do that? But, you know, what led to you deciding, hey, we're going to keep, you know, self-releasing our stuff?
Well, seeing what our friends AFI went through – seeing how their music changed. So we just kind of got a lot of people, you know, mentioned that we should just, you know, try to keep as much control as long as possible, and you know, just keep waiting for, just keep control, and you know, try to manage everything as much as you can until you can't anymore. And we, you know, we haven't found the offer that's good enough. And it was at the time, too, when we started, you know, the internet was just exploding, and we can do all these things that we could, you know, pretty much do for ourselves in any small little label that that was offering us, you know, the horrible deals that they were going to give us. We could, you know, do twice as well, just, you know, take some more work doing ourselves. And, yeah, we love it. Just gives us, you know, reason to interact with the fans and just, you know, gives us more
power.
Yeah, more power and more...
money.
Yeah, money. Yeah, that's
true.
But
basically, we're selfish, all right? We're selfish. Yeah.
We don't want to share it with anyone.
You just don't want to give anybody else a cut. I get it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the less middlemen you have, the more profit you make.
No, it makes sense. And absolutely now, especially with the internet, you know, it's an option where it wasn't always an option. You actually have the ability, as you guys have clearly done, to reach fans and to develop a fan base. Which you guys have done, and I'm assuming, I mean, the main tool for doing that is stuff like MySpace. Is that, I mean, how are you able to build a fan base?
Yeah, they keep coming through. There used to be mp3.com, and then, you know, now it's Facebook is popping up, and, you know, the Twitter. It's every new social media we just, you know, try to whore ourselves on and get the word out there. But, you know, it used to be just message boards and...
Guest books
and signing stuff and just and just horror link and what's that one horror web search?
Yeah, this is terrible options back then. But yeah, nowadays you can just jump on MySpace and, you know, God only knows how many people can hear you. But see, I'm just still shocked to even fathom what anybody did before the internet. Holy cow! He would never exist.
Yeah, I mean, you were sort of out in the cold. If you didn't have a deal, you were, you know, playing clubs, and that was it. But so now we have the internet. but so the new CD, let's talk about that. They Call Us Death, which was it's named by a fan, right? That's how you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So there was like a contest or something, and one of the fans got to pick the name. Is that how it happened?
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Yeah, for a few months, we had just people sending in all their different title names. Some were good, some were bad, some were ridiculous, and we've been meaning to pull those out because people always ask, like, what were some of the worst ones or the funniest ones?
To make people feel bad.
Yeah,
I guess we don't want to. But yeah, check out this terrible one.
It would have been great if you.
This is right at pat.com.
I think it would have been great maybe if you actually picked one of the really awful ones just for the hell of it, like the worst name and used it, you know?
Yeah, then if that were true, then it'd be Traveling Vampire Show Part 2 or something.
But you've talked a little bit about this in other interviews and stuff or other places, but what sets this new CD apart from the stuff that you've done before?
Let me tell them.
Oh, all right, go, dude.
I'm going to tell them. Okay. There's three things. One, it'll
kick you in the face. Two, it'll kick you in the face. Three, it'll make love to you.
Hopefully before it kicks me in the face.
Power struggle.
We make no guarantees that you will make love to you.
It'll vary. Yeah, you get a bunch of guys with their pants off and, hey, come on, let's do it. No, but I think, this record, I don't know, we must have, I mean, like you said, you know, whenever we write songs, we have no idea what we're thinking of, what we're doing half the time, but, we just must have been listening to heavy music and, like, looking back at all the good old days of, like, Black Flag and the really punk rock kind of stuff, and Earth AD, Misfits era, which is totally one of the coolest eras, like the heavy, hard kind of stuff, and I think it sets apart because it's got, like, a tougher edge. I don't think it was that much tougher than anything else, but a lot of people are saying it's very borderline metal, which is very weird. But, you know, we'll take it. It's all good.
Well, what I like about it, I mean, and I'm no professional critic or anything, but I just, your sound is very tight. You're very musically, like, together. I can't probably put it the best way as I can, but that's what I like the most about it is just, I mean, like, I grew up on a lot of the bands that we've been talking about, and one of the things I always liked about them was that they really had their shit together musically. I mean, they weren't just screwing around. They really were tight, and that's what I appreciate about, especially the new CD.
Brian, I think I know what you're trying to say. We're the next Rolling Stones. Go ahead, say it.
As long as you're not the next Who, because I mean, after seeing them in the Super Bowl, I don't think you'd really want to be the next Who. But
to be honest, it sounds so tight and good. It's because, you know, we hire other people to play.
So you're I don't want you to, like, choose your out of your babies and all that stuff, but is there any song on there or songs that really stand out the most? I mean, my favorite of them, I would say, is probably Deep in the Red, but I just want to hear if you guys have any favorites.
Yeah, he's a pervert. We put that on there to figure out who's the pervert. Like that one.
I'll go first.
I like Dave Farted. I like Bar of Hellfire is one of the favorites, because I think I realized I liked it the most is because it makes me sound like I'm a guitar virtuoso with my fingers flying all over the fretboard. And I feel good when I listen to it. But that's my favorite.
They're all your favorites.
Yep.
Okay.
That's a tough question. I think, I don't know. Just pick the single. Whichever
my favorite. Yes, whichever the single is my favorite. But Bobby, you
future video. Yeah, we have to do that too. We have to hold the contest or at least a poll to see what song people want to see a video for.
Oh, nice. And should you be so inclined, the Vault of Horror would, of course, be delighted to host any poll of this kind. Just putting that out there.
We're talking about Deep in the Red, they're talking about poll. We're seeing our poll.
Poll with two L's, but... but most of the stuff was written by Bobby, right, on this new one?
Where are you getting this info? I like it, because it's right. So I'd say it was half and half lyrics versus actual riffage, because it's pretty hard for Jim to write a riff on the bass.
Yeah, the bass, being a bass player, it just... Kick back.
now that Bob is able to play these super riffs, Guitar Hero riffs, he won't play the four chord songs that I write anymore. So they kind of have to follow him. But yeah, it's kind of like Bob does the main riffs, and we jump in with the bridge and kind of add our other stuff here and there.
So
and I'm pretty terrible with lyrics, so Jim usually rocks the chorus lyrics. You know, we split it up verse to verse, as you can probably tell when you look at all the lyrics, and it's a weird jumble of lyrics. Hey, what's going on? But yeah, we always kind of split on the lyrics. So yeah, it's like a 50-50 lovers quarrel at all times.
So is there some sibling rivalry going on?
How dare you.
We're a unified force. Oh, yeah, we're brothers. So, yeah, there's fisticuffs and
police cuffs.
Kicks and
furry cuffs. Broken feet.
What?
Broken feet. Oh.
Yeah, broken. Kicking.
Yeah.
Vehicles being kicked and people.
Oh. Idea. Next album. You're gonna be totally out of tune.
You know what I want to talk about too, actually? I won't keep you guys for too much longer, but I'm sorry. I also really like the art. The artwork on the album, on the CD package itself is just great, and obviously it's from a bunch of different artists contributing, but I was wondering if you could just talk a little bit about that. On the back, it almost looks like you got like a Tombs of the Blind Dead kind of thing going on.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yes.
It really looks great.
Yeah, we're all like super big in artwork and comics and all that kind of cool like evil imagery. I guess, you know, what are you without? Like, what kind of band are you without imagery? It's kind of like it's tough to sell yourself as that kind of cool evil thing without any. Whatever, you know what I mean? It's like Metallica's Black Album. Like, what? Terrible. It's so hard. But, yeah, it was cool. We just got a lot of artists, and that's, like, probably one of the coolest covers we had. Mainly because it features us, but besides that, it's totally cool, yeah.
Yeah, that artist, the main cover right there is Eric Powell. He's known for such works as The Goon on Dark Horse Comics. We met him at a convention.
And was he a fan? Years ago.
And we did his did the Goon 10th anniversary
super party
that he invited us to go down there and play in Tennessee. So we did that I think it was last year or 2 years ago. But yeah, he did that. He picked up on the 70s thing that we're going for with that. We told him we wanted like the, you know, eerie and the creepy magazine 70s style horror magazine kind of vibe going on. So he actually did that as a painting. He's got that as a painting somewhere. We have to go steal for our mantle. But, and little Davey,
that's right,
had to throw his artwork in there.
I did. It was a pity panel, as we like. Yeah, right. Just open the CD and you look at it.
That's the skull, right, with the pentagram.
Oh yeah.
Yes. But
could be on people's chests. Their backs, their arms, tramp stamps, gonna be everywhere. Tramp stamps.
It's almost like actually the creepy thing though is right on the money, because that is very much what that cover looks like. And I understand actually that you've got a comic book coming out soon. Is that true?
Where'd you hear that? It's incredulous. We're working with actually it's being colored right now.
Nice.
With one of our artist friends, B.W. Friedenstein.
Well,
Dr. Frankenstein.
That was his. That's his real name, right?
No, it's Friedendahl.
Nice, but so you've got that. So people should be looking out for that. Is there anything, any other stuff coming up that you'd like people to be on the lookout for?
Yeah, just the shows are coming up, and you know we're always trying to come up with new merchandise and contests and all that stuff. So we have a mailing list send out like emails once a month.
Yeah, and actually,
with all that new stuff going on, and any contests and any that kind of stuff. Yeah, like we like to do that with cross promotional things. We've done giving away comic books and what are those ones?
Those cards, like posters,
the la.
Trading cards.
Yeah, all that kind of fun stuff.
And actually,
sorry, no pubis. Calabrese.rock.com. Be our friend on MySpace. Be our friend on Bookface.
Just be your friend in general.
YouTube. Oh yeah, subscribe. Subscribe. I'm coming out with. I didn't tell you this, Jim.
Yeah, he's coming out.
No, I'm doing a stop animation movie.
Good luck with that, Dave.
And it's going to be out March 20th, along with our CD on the YouTube.
Yeah, Davey's going. Yeah, and you know, check out our twat that we'll.
Twatters.
What's the YouTube channel?
Horror Rocker.
Yeah,
Tora.
It's channel 4.
Channel 4.
YouTube.com/Tora. I think that's the...
Excel,
man.
All right. Well, I could always put a link in there anyway later. But, yeah, I was going to also remind people, like you said, it's CalabreseRock.com, CalabreseRock.com to find out about all this cool stuff. And the album's coming out on March 20th, and you can get it there as well. So, anyway, I just want to thank you guys very much for giving so generously of your time as I just went on and on talking your ear off. But thank you very much for giving me your time.
Oh, we loved it. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
My pleasure. It's been great, guys. Thanks.
Cool.